council work session for August 20th, 2019 will come to order. Let the record show that the entire council is present. Any clarifying questions for the agenda tonight in the regular meeting from anybody?
I have several questions about the proposed rules, but it'd take up too much time.
Okay, we'll do that during the meeting. Okay, first item on the agenda is a website update preview. Mr. Tuck.
Thank you. Good evening. Staff has been in the process of updating our website over the last several months. We took a look at some of the analytics of how our site was being used, and we're taking an opportunity to update it, make it a little more friendlier for how people are using it and some of the graphics. So turn it over to Ben, and he'll walk us through what you're going to be seeing.
Yeah, and Will, please chime in. So we just wanted to give you a sense. So we've got, I don't know how many pages, hundreds of pages on our website. So we just picked four to give you a sense of just what the new feel. This isn't a major change from what we've got, but just a few updates just to make it a little bit more modern, more current, and change a few of the things that now that we've been on our current website, things that we wish, the capabilities that we wish we had as well. And as Mr. Tuck mentioned, a lot of the analytics. What are people using? What are they going to? And how can we improve access to that? So this is what the main page will look like. The nice thing about this is we've got some dynamic capability here. So if we want five things to show up with something more prominent, we can do it like this. If we wanted three things to show up, it would be one big one, one more vertical one, and then another vertical one. So we've got some capabilities just depending on if it's a busy time of year and we've got a lot of stuff that we want right at the forefront, or if we don't want as much at the forefront. So just a little bit there. Again, very similar, trying to change this a little bit based on, you know, what we found is a lot of people were on our current site. They look at the very top and then they go like this, and then they go to the bottom and there. So we try to make it not as long. So with a little bit, condense it, not quite as much, and just update it here. Another cool feature that we're at, a couple things that we're gonna add, there's gonna be this new drop-down of how do I, and that's gonna be, and we've come up with a whole bunch of new fields there. How do I get a passport? How do I apply for a dog license? How do I get a business license? How do I, just going on like that. Then another cool feature is when you click on search, the whole bar updates like that. So it's just kind of a fun thing. A new feature that's going to be more prominent on websites, not just ours, but I think a lot of websites going forward, is something that's called dark mode. I can't click on it yet. It's not live. But that essentially, in essence, takes it so that all the white becomes dark and it's just a little bit. So if you're looking at a screen all day, it's supposed to be a little bit better. So that will be a new feature. Couple things too. We do have this on our current website, but it just doesn't, it's helpful to remember. We do have several languages, and these were just based on more prominent languages in the community. So
that's awesome.
Yep.
That's so cool.
Yeah, so changed all that. So that's the main page in essence. Wanted to show you the city council page. A lot of the content, so we're not doing a ton of content changes. So what's on the existing website is good content. It's just kind of showing it a little bit differently. So this is how we've designed it for the city council page. So mayor shows up right there like that, and then you can just keep scrolling through to all of you get your full bios like that. Just kind of more interactive look and feel, and then agendas, minutes, and your council goals, that kind of stuff. And keep in mind that this type of page structure is one page structure that we might use for many other pages. Then if you go a little bit of a different page, might be the youth council. So, need to make that too big. What's cool here is a new feature is we can embed videos like this. So make it a little bit more prominent and just a lot of functionality there.
Good question. And can we not embed videos on our current website?
We can, it's just not as visually appealing, right?
Yeah.
And it's a little more cumbersome. And so like this one, code enforcement, we just did that new code enforcement video. Mm-hmm. So we could make that kind of the prominent feature on a page if we really wanted to as well. So These are really just the basics of the new website. Bottom footer, if you will. Some of these are some of we're going that desires to make these some of our more commonly used links as well. So that's just the general look. With the whole site's not built out, we're scheduled to roll out mid to end of September. Just wanted to give you a preview before we do that. Do you have any?
Great.
Do we have any one of the images of the heat map?
I don't have that with us. What is kind of cool is you take a look at our existing page, mm-hmm. and use analytics, turn it into a heat map. So it shows you where people are clicking most. Mm-hmm. And it shows you where people are clicking. So we use that information to help guide this effort. And what we did is we took out anybody viewing our site from City Hall. Because we knew our employees use City Hall quite a bit. I mean, that's important. Mm-hmm. We want to care about our employees, but the website's designed for residents. We were interested in what are residents using? What information are they trying to access? And how do we design a website that needs that?
And we'll still have access to that with the new website where we can see like all these people clicking on Council President Sherman's picture or something like that.
Oddly, it was high.
Yeah.
It was him. Keep on running his address. There's an IP address somewhere. Yeah.
I love that that we're innovating it because I thought the website was already pretty good, but the fact that we're not just settling with a good website, we're trying to make it better and innovative. I think it's wonderful, and I love what you guys did with the languages because we do have a diverse population. So having the different languages, especially Ukrainian and Russian, and all that's awesome. So is that just going through like a Google Translate mm-hmm. app deal? Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, that's wonderful. I love it. So good work, whoever. Is that you?
We have a team of people,
okay.
So there's several of us inside. Will Wilson, IT manager. We have several people that work on this, so myself, Gabe, Ben, nice. Stephanie, all of us work. And we started this about a year ago, I think, was when we started kind of talking about it. And so this process takes time, and we went through several iterations and stuff.
Nice.
We weren't in a hurry, but it just took time to also find out what was kind of modern in terms of not super new, but also keeping it modern. And we'll also be refreshing the mobile site as well, because our site is built as what's called a responsive site.
Mm-hmm.
So that means as you shrink the site down in your browser, it automatically readjusts itself. So that's the current site's that way now.
Mm-hmm.
And so right now they're working on finishing up internal pages in the mobile site. But yeah, this has been a great team effort.
Well, before I was on City Council, I went to other City Council pages just to kind of research and stuff like that. And I remember some were leaps, light years ahead of others. But I feel like this might be setting the bar. I don't know if other cities have one that's going to be as nice as this. So I love it. Yeah,
okay.
Good work.
Anybody else?
Looks good.
Looks great. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Okay, we're going to move on to the next item, which is Clackamas County Library District Task Force. Mr. Tuck.
Thank you. The Board of County Commissioners has given direction to their staff to convene a Library District Task Force to focus on three main areas. One is library services, two is library funding, and then the third is library district governance. Now, there's a bunch of subtopics underneath that, and I'll let... Ms. Grohlberg is going to talk more about that, but it's going to be quite an involved process. There's going to be a subcommittee set up for each of those areas, and we will have representatives on each one of those, so we can talk a little bit about that too. So I'll turn it over to Ms. Grohlberg.
So the Library Task Force itself is going to be fed information from the three smaller subcommittees, and we're thinking, we're proposing is that Ben and Jason sit on the actual task force. Al Mateko, who is our library board chair, he also happens to be the chair of the Library District Advisory Committee, automatically becomes a member of that task force, although not a voting member, but that's just a feather in our cap because we have an advocate for libraries and for what we need, and a good perspective from us by having Al there too. The county commissioners asked that no electives be on the task force, so that's why we're recommending the dynamic duo here to be on the task force, and the library, so that's the major task force. Then the subcommittees, the library service subcommittee, we're recommending that Wendy Young from our library board, had a vote and is recommending Wendy and myself sit on the services. And basically we're going over what services are we providing now, what services do we need to maintain, what services we want, will we need in the future. And then the second subcommittee, we're recommending that Ben and I sit on it. It's library funding. So what are we going to need in the future for operations and for capital? Where are the boundaries, the formula, what funds, you know, all of those things that have to do with library district funds and how they're distributed and how much money we're getting and what goes to what. When we put the library district together, there was discussion that we probably asked for not enough money, but we did. It has lasted us these 10, 11 years. There are some libraries that are finding that it isn't enough, or we see in the future that it's not going to sustain us into the future. So the discussion was asked to be had, and I think it's a good one to have to see what our options are. And then the last subgroup, once again, we're recommending that Ben and I sit on it. It's governance. So there is a master order with the district. There's the IGAs, intergovernmental agreements with other cities and the district, that maybe after 10 years is a good time to take a look and see if those things are in our best interest and if they need to be tweaked, if they need to be left alone, what needs to happen. And then what is the role of the Library District Advisory Committee? We probably need to put some parameters around that. Then how do we make decisions as a district-wide? Those are kind of some of those things, the topics that will be tackled by those individual committees.
And I think the other thing I would add on the governance, this is where we have that conundrum where in the current master order, it talks about how funds can't be spent, operating funds shouldn't be spent on capital needs, or district funds shouldn't be spent on capital needs, and so cleaning up some of that, since that's a priority for us, to be able to have that flexibility, so we'll come out.
Okay, are you looking for direction, or what are we...
It's an update.
Just a presentation.
Yeah, conversation. Mm-hmm.
Councilor Drake?
Got some questions. I know you said that they don't want elected officials, but yet through throughout their document here, it says that the recommended district task force appointments are drawn from city managers, elected officials, library directors, LDAC representatives, and or library board members. It kind of has that common language with each one of these groups. So where did this no elected officials?
That came straight from the county commissioners. So, so maybe the language wasn't updated in that particular, that particular.
This was from, this document was from their staff's report to the Board of County Commissioners that then the BCC then said at that meeting, no electeds, I think is how that
okay.
happened.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. And also, what's really kind of the behind this? I mean, why are they doing this? Because years ago, the county said, we're out of the library business. We're giving it to the cities. Mm-hmm. Now the county's pulling together all this task force and group. Why?
I think that... that there are, as I said, a couple of cities that are saying that, you know, our service population is smaller than it should be, and I'm interested in changing our boundaries. There are some libraries that are saying we can't sustain our current services, much less our services in the future on the 39 cents per thousand. There are problems that we have. We would like some governance clarifications and change because we've been saving a nice little lump of money, hoping to get either an expansion or another library in the future, but we need some of that clarified. So you know, after 10, 11 years of library district, there's some questions that are being raised and some issues that have come, and they said, well, this is a good time to get all of the district partners together and talk about them and see if there's some solutions we can come to. And if maybe those solutions are just changing the IGA, or maybe it is that there's not enough money. There are some options about going out and raising that district amount. Or maybe nothing changes at all. But it's a conversation that has been bubbling up, and they figure that it's time to at least start talking as partners.
So, as a follow-up, so how is our library doing financially? I mean, are we meeting our needs, or are we running into the same kind of issues some other cities
are? We're doing really well, except for that we could use a bigger building. And so I think our main issue here is that we would like to use some of that money to expand the library. It would be great if we could punch out the end wall into that small parking lot if we decide not to get a brand new building, and put a bigger community room space and some quiet study rooms, and just, you know, give us a little bit more breathing room. Because our building is pretty flexible, so we're able to do some changes in the current facility, but all in all, just a little bit bigger would be a little bit nice. But we're hesitant to even go to that planning stage without knowing for sure that we can use the library district funds that we've been saving for capital.
Okay, Councilor Mommy?
And does Lake Oswego have the same template as we do, or are they slightly, do they do things slightly different, or?
Every city can manage their library, and their library can provide services that they wish to provide, or in a different way than we may provide. Lake Oswego has the advantage that their city gives them another $2 million
okay,
a year
that's what I was wondering.
On top of the $2 million plus that they're getting from the district. So between both the district funds and the city, they operate on about $5 million.
And what do we operate at?
We get about two from the district, and not all of that is spent. Some of it goes into
the savings fund.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you.
And our children's circulation is far surpasses Lake Oswego.
I know, we have the, no,
out.
We have
yes.
the great, our library.
She runs a lean, mean, and very effective library.
I can attest to it, my kids are regulars, and I think we have one of the best libraries. Obviously, you're doing a wonderful job. I just wasn't sure, I felt like I remember hearing something about theirs is a little different, so that would make sense.
Yeah, so Westland and Lake Oswego both get quite a bit of money, Lake Oswego mostly,
mm-hmm.
quite a bit of money from their cities, but not all of us have that luxury. I mean,
mm-hmm.
Happy Valley's tax base is, as we know, very small compared to Lake Oswego's tax base, and there are cities that don't get any money from their cities, but their district distribution is very small also.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where we get into some of the district partners are struggling. Cambie is struggling, Mowalla is struggling. The smaller libraries that don't get any money from their cities,
mm-hmm.
or very little money from their cities, are struggling.
Councilor Gray?
Are they not, they're not discussing, I hope, about revenue sharing?
Yeah.
We're talking, what do you mean by revenue sharing? Because the district funds come in and we divide those district funds according to a formula. And so the formula currently is based on population served and assessed value. So we get the assessed value, the money that is collected in the city of Happy Valley for the library gets returned to us, and then we get a portion of our service population sent back to us. So it's a combination of an assessed value return, and then they put all of the unincorporated together, figure out what percentage our population is of all the unincorporated, and we get that percentage of the unincorporated back. So it's a two-prong revenue stream when it comes to the district.
But they're not thinking of messing with that for me.
Oh, I would hope they would not be messing with that. And that's one reason why that we would be on the funding committee. Because it's working quite well for us.
Mr. Bryant?
Correct me if I'm wrong, but the current IGA that we do have with them, any changes to it takes 2/3 of the library cities to approve. And any change to the funding, is it unanimous?
It's unanimous if you mess with the city population part of it. It is not unanimous, it's 2/3 with.
For the unincorporated part. But it still takes 2/3 of the library cities to approve that. So there is, it's, we have a contract with them. But fortunately, we have a bunch of other cities to help with that. It's not just a one-way deal.
Right.
So.
And there are some conflicts going on right now between Oregon City and
Canby
on that service boundary. So there's a few areas. We haven't heard of any issues in this area. Anyone wanted to jump into our service area, for example. So, but in other areas of the district, there are challenges occurring.
Okay. Any other questions, comments? No, we're good.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Well,
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Have a good evening.
All right.
Thanks, sir.
Okay, next order of business is support for community groups. This is a conversation that we probably needed to have for a while. And we have our attorney here to kind of keep us on the straight and narrow here so we know what we can do and what we can't do. Mr. Tuck.
Yes, so this is coming out of the conversation Councilor Drake asked that we discuss this. From time to time, we get requests from groups that are that want to use city facilities that don't fall into our prioritization that we have, and it creates a problem. We've had to like work around it and give people exceptions and that sort of thing, and so we run into this actually quite a bit. And then, kind of the second portion of this is the funding aspect of supporting outside groups. So conversation needs to happen at the council level, determine if we need to have a policy for, or take a fresh look at our policy for facility usage, and or what level of support are we providing for outside groups, whatever those groups may be. So. Really, this is a council conversation. There are some legal sidebars that, I invited Chris to be here and answer questions, give some guidance. And it basically surrounds treating everyone equal. And so we need to talk about that and policy and if any amendments or if there's any issue at all. I'll turn it over to the council.
Okay, does anybody want to start out with a comment here?
Go ahead. I'd be happy to start. Brett Sherman, Council President. I think, a good place to start, because a lot of this, I'll start by saying I appreciate the policy we've had in place back to 2016. I was unaware that we even had a policy in place, and not that I don't always look over our policies very thoroughly, because the staff does a great job of keeping us on the straight and narrow. But I appreciate that we have a policy in place that really kind of tries to delineate between certain types of relationships with outside entities and kind of how we have our city resources available to them. And so that was a good framework for me to kind of start thinking through the process. And in addition to that, Councilor Drake and I have had many conversations as it relates to kind of the diversity group and how they fit into the mix. The idea of being a committee versus a work group and what that means and trying to kind of quantify the relationship of the city with a group that maybe isn't necessarily just comprised of Happy Valley individuals, which brings in a whole different host of kind of questions and issues. In addition, our typical committee structure has an agenda and a staff member and a council liaison and minutes are taken and there's a lot of structure around it. And I know that group, at least historically, has preferred not to be within that constraint, a little bit more open. And I think that there are, have heard expressed many good reasons for that, and but, you know, at the same time, I think that there are arguments both for and against that type of structure as well. So, you know, I'm not saying I have any preconceived notion of what an effective structure should or would look like, but I mean, I appreciate that we've had kind of ongoing conversations about that. So I think that, you know, bringing that up for conversation today and really trying to hone in on a couple of the key issues. So, you know, what is the communication? What is the responsibility of the city in relation to a group that's not actually a committee? So, you know, are we taking more direction from them? Are they, do they have a conduit of communication direct to the city council or direct to staff? Or do they need to present just like any other external group? You know, if the veterans wanted to come present to city council, they would sit at the podium and present or come visit us during work session. So, you know, that's one thing that we would talk about as well. And then also financial support. What does that mean? You know, how do we put guidelines around that? Does it make sense? And if so, what type of structure? And then it brings up a whole other host of First Amendment rights. And if we're printing collateral or if we're working with them, what responsibility do we have as a city of, well, I hate to use the word censoring content, but being aware of the content that's out there. And I think this, you know, the document that we've been presented today, it gives us generalities really with only one kind of aspect of it. It's really more the resource aspect, isn't it? Just kind of the city, using city resources versus anything else. So, that's my notion of the general framework. Councilor Drake, I'm sure you've got thoughts and comments on it. Anybody else?
Yeah, I like
you want to go first?
I think it's a good idea to have some policies, and I think that that's the right direction for the city to go. We have in the past supported a variety of groups, you know, people that race for the cure in those groups, and at some time in the past we restricted that. I remember we had a discussion where we're not going to support all these runs because the city can't, you know, I mean, your state, you'd have to assign people just to do that. So we did restrict it, but I think as the city grows, we do need some more structure, frankly, some more policy direction that we can say, if somebody comes to us, the Friends of Hidden Falls, you know, they form a work group. What do we do with that? How does that relate? How do you accept that group or not accept that group? I mean, all those things I think need to be defined so that when somebody comes to us, we can say, here's the rules. And you have to meet these rules in order to get city resources, whether that's a race group or whatever group it is. So we just need to kind of define things, I think. But in overall, my last comment is I'm generally in support of community groups. I think the city should do that. We should be as supportive as possible of our citizens and the community at large. So that's kind of my general bent, is to be supportive.
Councilor Mom.
So I'll just be really blunt. I don't want to ever have to support Antifa. I don't ever want to have to support the Proud Boys. I don't want to ever have to support any group that thinks they're fighting a good fight that we all may agree or disagree with. So I think when we start picking and choosing which groups we're going to support, we're really treading on a slippery slope. And I think this is what you see happen in schools. You have religious groups that try to get in there, and then all of a sudden you have the Satanist group because they're trying to prove a point. When you start picking and choosing which groups you're going to support, and we're talking about publicly, you know, public taxpayer dollars, I think picking and choosing which groups we're going to support and allow in here is just a recipe for disaster. So, I mean, we've seen, you know, militant groups and different kinds of organizations on the rise over the last several years, and who's to say that won't come in our own backyard? So, I guess I'm not in favor of preferential treatment to any group over another, because I feel like that opens us up to potential issues in the future. If the veterans group comes tomorrow and says, hey, we heard that you guys are supporting this group, we'd like to do this, and then another group comes in and we, you know, it's where does it end? And I understand about Race for the Cure and taxpayer dollars and things like that. You can't support them all. I mean, we get invited to charity functions and city councilors all the time. If we went to every single one of them, we'd go broke. So I think that when it comes to First Amendment rights and freedom of, you know, free speech and all that, I think that we have to respect that and honor that, but by giving preferential treatment of other groups over one or another, I think we're asking for potential fallout in the future. So I guess I think that I would just make a blanket rule of no.
Okay. Councilor Goldwing, did you want to say anything?
Yeah, so I think this discussion came about because of some recent events that took place. Am I incorrect in that? Is this something that we had planned on talking about, or is this because of events that transpired?
Well, Councilor Drake had asked that we talked about his particular group, but City Manager Tuck and I thought, well, we can't just talk about one group, we'll talk about all the groups.
Okay.
And so that's why this conversation is here.
This is the same group that said, I don't represent the community, even though I was the first Iranian-American city council in Oregon's history, that Mark Lee said, I don't represent the community. So how is this a diversity group of equality? Are we doing, is gender equality more important than racial equality? If I was black, would you have sent that?
Councilor Romney, our attorney would like to say something.
If I may, a couple of things. I strongly encourage the city not to, my goal would be to, I think Councilor Drake used the word structure, provide structure. Formalize, professionalize, however you want to characterize it, make this process a formal city process. Adopt a policy, because doing things on an ad hoc basis, that's actually the third sentence, the third paragraph here. I'm concerned more about liability. If you provide city resources to one group and you turn around and you don't do it for the veterans or the, you know, another group, then you you stand at risk of being sued for discriminating on the basis of gender or national origin or religion or political affiliation, whatever this group that you said, sorry, and your reasons for denying resource may be, it was the end of the budget year, didn't have any more money. But you're still going to get sued because you're doing things on an ad hoc basis, and that looks arbitrary and capricious, and you're going to get sued. So my advice is formalize it. I can tell you, I was talking to Chad in our office today, who does a lot of work for the city of Hillsborough. They have a very formal process. They budget every year $100,000 to $200,000. They have a formal process. People can apply for grants. You have to demonstrate two things. Well, the city has to demonstrate two things. The money you're giving people to have to pursue a city interest, right? So Race for the Cure is one thing, but that's really more of a regional, almost national organization. Friends of Hidden Falls, Friends of Scouters Mountain, those would be city-oriented groups that are focused on providing a benefit for the city, more appropriate to spend city resources. So you have to be able to demonstrate a city commitment, and the money has to be allocated through your budget. So, and they've got a whole application process, and it includes things like you can't give money to the same group 2 years in a row if there are other groups who didn't receive money the last year. So that, or if you get money, you go to the end of the list for the following year, things like that, so that you make sure that the money is distributed on a non-discriminatory basis throughout the city. And you can have that policy also cover non-monetary resources, use of meeting rooms, copiers, stuff like that. But I think my advice, and this isn't, this is a broad discussion for me because I have no background in what you guys are talking about, but it's almost always the case that one single incident gives rise to a more broad discussion, to a broader discussion. So I'm addressing the broader issues here, and I'm concerned for the city that you limit your liability by formally adopting a policy, have procedures for, you know, make it part of somebody's job description, you're in charge of the grant program for the city, you're in charge of the volunteer, you know, however you're gonna do it, provide structure, formalize it, professionalize it, and reduce your liability, potential liability at the same time. So that's my pitch for the evening.
Councilor Goldberg.
First thing I want to say is this did stem a more recent conversation. This, I think, is stemming from a more recent conversation, and that is that an organization was given the ability to use city resources with no one's approval but a couple. Therein lies the problem. If we don't have a policy, and I say there has to be a definitive policy, and I would be one who says, no one gets it. Because who gets to then be the judge? Does that fall on city council to determine every organization that wants to come in? Unfortunately, in this case, two people made the decision and they opened the door. And it's not that we don't support diversity and equity, it's what do we open ourselves up to that's behind closed doors that we can't see?
Well, this is the problem with doing things on an ad hoc basis, whether it's this group or any, I've seen this in other cities, and it's a different group every time, it's a different counselor every time, but this is the problem with doing things on an ad hoc basis. I encourage the city to adopt a formal process for doing this kind of thing.
Finish.
Oh, I'm sorry, I thought you were done, my apologies.
It's okay. I appreciate your input. I am thoroughly discouraged that a couple of people on their own, without even talking to other counselors, decided that they would support a community group, and I think it's a very dangerous place for us to be. So, policy, if that's what fixes it, then I'm 100% for it.
Council President Sherman.
So I guess, you know, maybe a question then, because in my mind, it's pretty straightforward. Our committee function is pretty straightforward. You know, we have a city need for a specific function, and that structure seems pretty. I mean, it's pretty well defined. There's not really much. It's not vague at all. It's really detailed. And then you have another city type function, are like the ad hoc work groups we correct for certain situations. So when we need to bring people in for the Pleasant Valley North Comp plan, and you know, we ask citizens to come in and provide input, and they're providing a certain function with city staff and or city council oversight. There's a specific goal, but it's also a finite time horizon. It's not meant to be an ongoing entity. It's meant to complete a task. Is that pretty much what we have right now, Mr. Tape, as far as just and then we kind of have this new entity in the middle.
Yeah. The structure is exactly how you say it. We have committees that are set up that are in our municipal code that are supported by staff. So your planning commission, design review board, right, library, those sort of things. Then we have ad hoc one-off groups that have a very specific task. Citizen advisory committees for Pleasant Valley North Carver. We'll probably have one for a downtown development concept later. You know, those are kind of finite, one project, boom, done. And then now we have this other group that's morphed into this kind of weird area that we haven't defined anywhere. And it's a working group, but it's having counselors go there. We frankly have used a little bit of resources on them and on supporting that group, and maybe that was my fault for not shutting it down right away. So yeah, we have this other now group type that we've never dealt with before.
Right. So I guess my question, which is really more of a point in relation to that, is the function that we have works pretty well. We have a need, we identify a need. It's either a long-term ongoing requirement that we want to put parameters on, and they then are making recommendations to city council, you know, they're providing guidance, or we have a single function. And the single function is still involves city staff, still a really well-defined process. In my mind, there's no need for a middle group. There's no need for a middle ground. A generic work group who does things on their own and kind of operates outside of the scope of the city. That's not our business. That's not our function. And so if we were to identify, and I don't want to pick on this group in particular, but I think diversity is important. You know, I mean, and helping communicate that and structure long-term policies and provide commentary, I think that's an important function. And that would be something that, as a city, if we choose to go down that path, that's fine. But it should be a committee just like any other committee. It should have the same structure, the same function. It should operate in the exact same fashion. And you're either in that structure or you're not. And so to me, that would then kind of alleviate a lot of this conversation. If we don't have that middle ground, we would identify that we want to have a new committee that does this thing, and I'm not speaking for the council. I'm just saying, you know, just hypothesizing here. That committee would have a staff member and a council liaison and a specific agenda, and they would have a certain guardrails around what they do. And I'm not advocating for that specific function, but I just have a real hard time identifying a new hybrid function that kind of operates inside the spectrum but outside, and, you know, how do we then provide governance for that? Because there's really nothing else that we do that with. It just seems like creating another, just another structure that requires a lot of oversight, but then also has some liability associated with it as well.
Councilor Roby.
So I guess what I'm hoping to gain from this conversation is how we protect, and I'll be brutally honest, because it's the way I am as a human being, the specific instance that we had that a lot of this discussion I think is surrounding is a working group that had the opportunity to become a committee. I personally feel like there were some political favors that were done. There were a couple of councilors who regularly attended these meetings without allowing anyone else knowing when it was happening, where it was happening. This has been a discussion between a few of us, and I want to make sure moving forward, future, long term, that there is not the perception of political favors being done in our city. It is not the way our city should be operated. It should not have been allowed to happen. And it's extremely concerning to me that it took place in the first place. I don't care if it's a little bit of money, a lot of money, it is not correct. It can't be left up to one or two people to determine whether or not we're going to support a specific group. That puts us in an extremely dangerous position as a city, and I won't stand for it. So if we can find within the current policy is a way that we define and we protect that from happening, then that's fine. But if we can't, then we need to have a policy that says one or two people don't get to make a decision of which groups they're going to fund, which groups they're going to give money. That is wrong.
Councilor Drake.
Yeah, I agree. I think structure is important, and I think we do need to have some sort of policies so that when groups do come to us, we can say, you got to meet this criteria. And if that's committee, like Council President Sherman is saying, and that's what we do. I mean, I think that the other cities I know in the county, of course, that I work for, they have a lot of groups, other than committees and task force. They have a lot of citizen groups that they support for a variety of reasons. And I don't think as a government that's something important for us to do, but at the same time, I think we need to have some structure on it. They do have some structure in the county, I mean, but some of it's kind of ad hoc that they put together. Example, warming centers. People come to them and say, we want a warming center here, and they provide those services for the citizens. So, but yeah, I think it's important to have a policy. And if it's gonna be a committee, you know, I'm not opposed to that at all. If that's the structure that everyone thinks should go forward, then let's do that. So.
Council President Sherman.
I guess maybe a question would be then, I don't know historically, how has the city or the council determined that a new committee is necessary? When we decided to create the Parks Advisory Committee, is that just, does city staff come to the mayor and to the council and say, you know, we really could use this function? I mean, how have those happened in the past?
In the past, so the Library Advisory Committee was kind of an inherited structure. The county had one, and so the council felt it was important to have a library advisory committee. I think the newest one that was made was the art advisory committee, and that was a recommendation that came from one of the city councilors, Michael Morrow at the time. He thought it was important, the council agreed, and so then we set up the structure that all the committees follow, the application process, the appointment, their charter, the whole thing.
So then given that structure, then I would assume that as with any committee, members would be Happy Valley citizens. They'd be appointed by the mayor with consent of the city council. So in a circumstance like this, let's take it from the hypothetical down to the real world. One of the councilors would come back to the council at a future session and say, I propose that we have a diversity committee. And I see the function of this committee as providing assistance, you know, it's an overlay to the other committees to help them factor in diversity and inclusion and equity in their decisions as they decide to, you know, deploy parks or public art or whatever that happens to be. And then the council as a body, a deliberative body, would discuss this. There would be a decision as to whether or not we move forward with a, a con- concept like that, and structure would be created just like it is with other committees, and then the members of the current existing work group could certainly put in their applications to be part of that new committee. I mean, is that kind of how the structure would work ultimately?
That's one way.
Okay. Because I don't know, short of creating a new entity and going through that process of trying to fine-tune a new structure for something, that seems to me like the simplest solution to this.
Councilor Goldbee's first, then Councilor.
I would agree. The simplest solution is that we, if we care about diversity and equity, we create a diversity and equity committee. And our policy should read and should be extremely clear so as to prevent political favors or other things being done on the side. We will not supply funding to work groups, whatever they are. But if we believe diversity and equity is important, then let's by all means create a diversity and equity committee and have it follow the same parameters of every other committee. Plain and simple.
Councilor Gregg.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, I think that's the direction of the council, that majority of the council to go to a committee kind of structure. I think that's, you know, yeah, let's do that. I think we ought to have a policy in addition to that. A couple things. For people, when they approach us with things, we ought to have some sort of structure policy how we deal with that. In other words, if somebody comes to you and say, I want to start Friends of Hidden Falls, that you would say, okay, here's the process. That something's in writing that you go, if you want to do this, we don't do those groups, or, you know, some sort of written policy. So, you know, to make sure that people don't just come up and say, why am I not being allowed? Because this is our policy. We only do committees or whatever it is that we're going to do. And secondly, I'd also have to look at, I don't know if some of these committees would be, I'm not trying to say full-time, but go on into the future, or I'm trying to think, because like we have the examples of, you know, like the groups for like the urban growth boundary or something, so we'd have to kind of say these groups, we're looking at this committee to be, you know, continue, or it's going to have a specific time limit to it as well, because we may say this group, even the equity group, we're going to want this committee to go on for 2-3 years. We may not want them to go beyond it. I mean, you know, that kind of thing. So just some sort of policy. We have to define the goalposts, like you're saying. It's going to be ongoing or not, I guess.
Councilor Hong.
So I'm going to propose that maybe on a future work session or even executive session, we can specifically discuss a diversity group in Happy Valley and what that would look like and what that should look like, if that's something that we have staff resources to do. I understand that right now this is a general discussion of an overview regarding community groups, but I think specifically when staff resources allow time for it, we should have this on a discussion, because I think there's a lot more that I have to say. And quite frankly, I feel like there's a lot that hasn't been said that needs to be said. So I'll just leave it at that. But I think this needs us to have a specific deal, whether it be in the public or an executive session. I don't care, but I have a lot to say about this group. So I tried to start a diversity group before I was on city council. And when I got on city council, there was already a group that's kind of been formed, kind of not been formed. But I think if we're going to do it, we need to do it the right way. So I just want to say, I think we need to have a specific conversation regarding this group itself, or a diversity group in Happy Valley.
Okay, anybody else? Okay, I'm going to kind of try to summarize here. We've had advice from our attorney. We've had comments from all the counselors. What I'm hearing is, if you're not a full-blown city committee, you get nothing. Wait a minute.
Just a clarifying question. What about the fun runs in those groups?
So the fun run is put on by...
I'm talking about runs in general.
Oh, runs in general. What we have there is a policy that sets out how many that can go in the city. There's an application process. And basically, we've limited the number of them that can occur during the year from because of the staffing impacts that it has. It doesn't mean we are giving them money or resources to do it. They apply. apply, they pay a fee, and then we have like, we put out cones and traffic control and that sort of thing.
Okay, thank you, that was clarifying.
Okay.
Sorry.
So back to that, it sounds like what the council's saying is if you're not a full-blown committee sanctioned by the city, then you're not gonna get any help at all. Is that correct?
Can I just ask one other clarifying question? Because we do have, the building is used by various different groups. So I think if we're gonna say, we gotta be careful on how we word it. Can a diversity and equity group meet here? I don't see why they couldn't, so long as we're not using city resources. I know the Happy Valley Business Alliance meets here once a month, twice a month actually. So they're, in theory, quote-unquote, using?
Exactly. So we have a policy in place for facility usage, which is different than the conversation about supporting outside groups, either monetarily or by staff support. So the policy, if you read through it, what you'll see is we have level of partners.
Right.
So if we're a partner to another group like the Happy Valley Business Alliance, we pay fees to be part of that group. They then fall into a different category for facility usage. And then we have it for, you know, HOAs and sport groups and all this stuff. And it's been well discussed and vetted, and it seems to work pretty well. I think the area that we're talking about is this hybrid group. So the United Community Alliance, the veterans group, any other group, pick some group out there. There's tons of them, right? Generally speaking, that does not fall under our facility use policy.
So I mean, what if the Proud Boys want to come up and say, hey, we got a huge population in Happy Valley, we want to meet in City Hall.
And we let the United Community Alliance, but
yeah,
we didn't
you guys let
them,
the diversity group,
I
we want to have
we would
our...
be in trouble.
Yeah. Okay, so that's my question, yeah.
Ruling on that?
I'm not gonna speculate.
Okay.
Sounds like, spoken
yeah,
like a true attorney.
Yeah. My sense is that when you start getting into the nuts and bolts of defining the policy and you look at groups that have a legitimate city interest, groups like the Proud Boys and the National Association of this, that, and the other, they fall away, right? Those are national groups. They don't have a legitimate, Friends of Hidden Falls, clearly. Lots of these other groups, clear connection to city, to a city interest, and the group would have to have demonstrate a city interest in order to be able to use city resources, whether it's cash or the building or borrowing tools from Public Works to clear trails. They've got to have a legitimate city interest. But until you get into the details, we won't know.
Okay. Councilor Gold.
I knew that we had our policy for using the facilities. That is exactly what I wanted to clarify, because these are groups that are different than any of our committees. They don't fall into any parameters. And in theory, I think the way our policy is written right now, they would need to pay. So I just want to be careful on how the wording is done to, you know, have the opportunities for our city hall to be used for groups of people that are trying to do good things. And so I just wanted to clarify that. So thank you.
Councilor Gray.
Yeah, so the Rotary, I'm asking some clarifying questions. They fall into that group because we pay to be part of the Rotary.
Correct.
So that's kind of group. So we kind of separate those out.
Yep. Yep.
Although the Rotary hasn't, I think, made any demands of using space here, but if they did need a meeting place, that would happen, just fall into that. And then there's other, I don't know what other groups can come up, but again, I think just reiterating that if we have a policy, if groups come up to us, Friends of Hidden Falls, here's what we can do. You know, you can meet in here, like if a goal would be saying, you know, we provide meeting space, but you have to meet these requirements, here's our policies for that, which you shared with us. So, yeah, I'm good with that. I think that's good.
Okay, so we need to kind of recap, because we got to get going here again. So, as I said before, everybody, to me, maybe that's changed a little bit now, but is basically if you're not a full-blown city committee, you're not entitled to anything from the city. Now, Councilor Golby brought up the fact that he thought it might be okay for them to use the city hall. Am I correct?
Well, I would just like for some definition around those parameters. If we're saying, if it's a, I'm not, saying one way or the other. I'm just concerned if you use hard language like no city resources, well, the fact that they are using City Hall is using city resources. The lights have to be on, they have to be cleaned up after, so they are, in theory, using city resources. So if, and it's up to a consensus, not just me, on what we allow, I just want to make sure what we're getting ourselves into.
Councilor President Sherman.
Yeah, I thought the policy as it's laid out currently does pretty well define that. You know, as far as like the number of times they can use it per year, whether there's a cost involved or not, whether there's a city staff member required to be on site. And I think maybe it's just a matter of, maybe we're just broadening the language of those four definitions that we had.
So let's just talk about what we're really talking about here is Markley's diversity group is the main focus here right now. And the council is saying they don't get any monetary or material resources. I think that's what the council is saying. But I think I'm hearing differences about whether they can use the city hall or not. Am I correct in that? I don't want to put words in anybody's mouth here. I'm trying to figure out where we're at here on this.
I just want to make certain that community groups that are not an actual city committee are not using financial resources of the city. And that happened with this group. It, again, is a very bad situation. I'm very disappointed in how it happened, and I'll leave it at that. But there are, I think, some community groups that should be given access to use the space of City Hall.
So there again, I'm hearing no monetary or material things for groups, but under certain circumstances, they would be okay, according to our policy, to use the city hall.
Like four times a year. They'd be limited to whatever.
Is that what our policy, I think our policy does say something like that. Mr. Tuck.
Yeah, rather than developing the policy right now, why don't I schedule this for a future work session? We'll bring back some proposed language to amend our policy to kind of clarify these ancillary groups that don't really fit into the structure we have. That's one. Then the other one is a work session on whether or not you want to establish a formal equity committee for the city.
Yeah. Everybody okay with what you're hearing?
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Okay, good. So I think we're clear. So the community group can use the city hall until we develop a policy? Is that what everybody's saying?
No. Yeah. Anyone's okay. Saying no use to it. So
okay.
And we do clean
just up. No resources. Okay. All right. Everybody sounds like everybody's clear on that. Okay, we're gonna adjourn because we're ready for a council meeting. So we are adjourned.